So much medical stuff is blue. The embarrassing hospital nightgown that I had to wear, the pale blue paint halfway up the hospital's walls, light blue hair covers, clean blue scrubs as far as I can see, stainless steel tables topped with instruments, covered with something that looks like blue butcher paper. I'm nervous. I have butterflies. The hallway is wheeling past me in slow motion. I keep saying to myself, this is the moment. This is the moment you've been waiting for. It's here. Be in the moment. In just a few hours, you're going to have your awakening. The nurses kept pushing me down the hallways. Suddenly, I'm in the OR. It's immediately busy and quick. Flashes of blue are all around me. The anesthesiologist pushes something into my IV, and I take a picture in my mind. I take in the whole room. I turn to a strong-looking nurse beside me and say, thank you. I float away, staring straight into her sky blue scrubs. I regain consciousness halfway sitting up. I feel disconnected. I hear a sweet-sounding nurse say, poor buddy, he just can't seem to wake up. I couldn't wake up. I was happy being in that dreamy state. The drug-induced haze I felt was very peaceful, a hazy, beautiful sense of peace. I had to wade out of this unconsciousness and wade through my emotions. I had to acknowledge each one of my emotions, welcome them in. It took a few days, all doped up on pain meds. My mind was alive with reflection. I thought about my transition. I thought about my trans identity. I thought about how I had gotten here. The privilege that my mother had given me for paying for my surgery, the privilege that my family had given me by loving me unconditionally, by standing by me, by loving me through it. I thought about all the layers, all around, inside and out. I remained in that self-reflective space for the first few days and was grateful that we were able to stay in a safe place and spend the first phase of my physical recovery. Sharon has some good friends who put us up and kept us company during the surgery stay in Chicago. One of the women welcomed us into her home. She's a feisty, quick-witted, proudly lesbian-identified woman. She allowed me to take over her bedroom, lay in her bed, hole up in her personal space, live and recover in her home. I stayed in her room, shades drawn and AC on full blast. I was surrounded by her celebration of all things female, all things women, from her handmade lavender quilt that covered her comfy bed, to her walls covered in her woman-focused artwork, various scenes of women couples in embrace, a bookshelf chock full of lesbian classics, a whole shelf dedicated to old lesbian connections. It all resonated with me. It felt very comfortable. It felt very comforting. It felt familiar. I felt like all those who had held me close all these years, my sisters, my co-feminists, my community, these women who I adore. It felt like a swirl of positive women energy healing me, cradling me, and loving me, letting me go. It allowed me such a peace to integrate who I was with who I am. It was a nice place to begin again. When I would stumble to her bathroom, I would look in the mirror and I would see my body. It was all bruised and bloody and bandaged. I'd still smile. I felt a sense of satisfaction, that strong internal peace. Was right there with me. But I was more surprised to not feel some sort of amazing awakening I had imagined. It was way more subtle than that. It felt more like a merger, a sense of coming full circle. I realized my awakening was a process, a journey. This wasn't any sort of finish line. It was a beginning of sorts, a feeling of alignment. Not some fantastic awakening. It was just a necessary stop, a major stop, but only a stop. My body felt familiar. It was very different, but it was comfortable and familiar. I began to realize that it didn't happen in a 5-hour-long surgery. It happened over the past couple of years. I was already living my authentic life, my true life, my true life. The moment I made my declaration, the moment I came out to myself, the moments I came out to my family and my friends, they had all been my real life, the life that I wanted. The life of being myself. Not hiding, not holding back, just living my life. The surgery was very satisfying and very necessary for me, but it was a feeling of coming full circle, coming to this even ground. It felt good. It feels good. The St. Louis Blues. So my trans sources of wisdom and knowledge, my therapist, my web groups, my books by transgendered people, all advise me to present male. Correct folks when they use the wrong pronoun. Use the men's bathroom. Your assurance assures others, they would tell me. Present in the way you want to be presented. Don't apologize for who you are. I could hear their advice. I took their advice. I had been living near their advice for many years. I had kept a short haircut as long as I can remember. I only purchased and wore men's clothing, so I didn't have to step far to go to the next level. I just needed to step firmly. When I started hormone therapy, I knew that that's what I had to do. I wanted what it could offer me. I needed what it could offer me. It continues to be difficult for me to articulate how valuable hormones are to me in my process. Hormone therapy helped me out and continues to help me out incredibly. It completely changed the game, just as it did when I was 11 years old. It was amazing allowing testosterone in. I felt it the moment I received my first shot. It felt right. I tell people that I can imagine hormone therapy feels to me what finding the perfect antidepressant after years of battling depression must feel for other folks. Finally, something worked. Something that made me feel level. No longer living in a hilly, pit-filled golf course. Now, as the testosterone entered my bloodstream, I walked out onto a flat, even soccer pitch. I could see clearly all around me, in all directions, the melancholy that had lingered in my soul for years, that had nagged at the core of my identity. It started to go away. Not completely, but no longer was it in the forefront. I could more easily chase away the nagging fear and doubt, the self-loathing. That went away. Of course, I continue therapy and I continue my research and I reach out to my community. I still have pain, I still have my issues, but now I feel like I can see them and allow room to analyze them. I started hormone therapy about a year and a half ago. My voice started significantly changing about 4 months into the therapy, and I felt a surge of confidence. Sounding male made me feel good. It was something that pronounced who I was with minimal effort. It led my way. I started to take the advice of all my web groups and live male. I noticed way more, "Can I help you, sir?" And when I was with my babies, that would be, "Is that your daddy?" My confidence soared. I felt firmly planted, sure-footed, exactly opposite of what the estrogen puberty did to me. There were many profound milestones, many rites of passage that told me I was there or that I was getting there. Reinforcing gender events is what I call it. Ironically, many of them surround the bathroom. The bathroom, which was for many years a source of pain and contempt, faced with that decision, that gender declaration every time I went out in public, boy or girl, choose now in front of your peers. Now this painful place was becoming a place of victory, a place of empowerment. Going to the Verizon Amphitheater for a Neil Young and Willie Nelson concert was a place where I took one step backwards and two step forwards in my process. I went with my mom and my sister. They've known me the longest and I think struggle the most with all of this. With the gender, with the pronouns particularly. I know it comes from a loving place, and I feel like I can meet them where they are on their journey. They are my family, and they're gonna always get that pass. But I think I internalized some of their transphobia, and I certainly did at the Verizon. And after a beer or two, well, I wasn't thinking quite clearly, but I sure knew I needed to use the bathroom. I hesitated. I was nervous. I had made my proclamations all over the place. Everywhere except work, and I was living authentically as I could. So I knew I should use the men's bathroom, but I was scared. In that moment of self-doubt, I headed right to the ladies' room. That's where I took my step backward. I let fear run the show. I skulked into the ladies' line. But thankfully, God had different plans for me. I was greeted by two ladies who looked genuinely alarmed that I was behind them. They wasted little time. Sir, sir, you're in the wrong line. I can't get a word out until the next one says, I am going to call security if you don't leave this line right now. It was such a moment for me. So many times when I presented as a butch, this would happen. Ladies have often notified me of my lack of belonging in their private space. But then I'd open my mouth, my sweet little melodic voice would come out, and they would soften their accusations and normally walk away slightly embarrassed. It was different now. I finally opened my mouth, and I'm not sure if it was the few months of testosterone, being outside in damp air, secondhand smoke, or the hooting and hollering I was doing for Willie Nelson, but this incredibly low, gurgly grunt comes out of my mouth. I'm sure it sounded frightening. Thankfully, I was able to recover quickly and said, oh, I'm sorry, lady, so sorry. I sounded not quite as deep as the grumble, but I sounded male. I felt myself backing up, grinning but horrified, and trying to blend in and look busy all at the same time. It was satisfyingly stressful. I bucked up. I head to the men's. I still had to pee. I duck and cover, and I hunch forward. I had been using the men's on smaller scale bathrooms, the QTs, the smaller shops, but Verizon was a big one. I cross my arms over my chest, first things first. The line was so quick. I mean, it was awesome. Quiet, to the point, get in, do your business, get out, no loitering, no conversation, minimal hand washing. It was the holy grail of urinals. The whole wall was urinals. It was beautiful. I finish up, I wash my hands. I took my time washing my hands, trying to take it all in, looking around me in the rearview mirror, wanting to stare and watch the goings on, but knowing better. I grin. It felt good. I forever longed to be invited into the Fonz's office as a kid, and this was just as good. I haven't gone back. I took two steps forward that day, a forward movement in my journey. Another bathroom-related milestone was going to a foster parent Christmas event with my family. My family and I get there, and both River and I had the go. So we scan and seek out what I believe is the men's bathroom. I head that way with River. I buck up and I make a beeline. I concentrate on River and look busy as I dive towards the bathroom. Still a little gun shy. It was at a very large venue with a ton of security. My ID did not match my presentation, and I had already had to show my ID to get into the event and was made. I was hoping that I could just blend for the rest of our big event. I'm ducking and covering just in case, but I feel this small group of security guys staring at me. I feel that all too familiar feeling, that constant feeling of my adolescence, painfully self-conscious, full of fear, full of self-loathing. Then I hear it over my shoulder, the authoritative, hey, hey you. The skin on the back of my neck feels hot. The hair on my arm stands up and I feel a twinge of anger. I didn't know where that came from. Here it is, a defining moment between Poppy and Son. How will I handle this? I stop and turn around, hoping against hope that it's not for me. It was for me. Hey, you. The men's room is over there. He points to the opposite wall. My knees buckled. I wanted to high-five River and do some sort of dorky victory dance. Instead, I stifled a grin and said, thanks, man, and waved, squeezing River's hand and pulling him with me to the bathroom, the men's bathroom. The daddy's dirty blue jeans. Sharon and I decided to finish our basement. I'm mildly handy. I have a strong desire to identify as a handy fella, but truth be told, not really. So I do what I can do and hire out the rest. We ended up with a crew of three super handy fellas, working guys, or the daddies, as Lyric calls them, and eventually all of our family. The daddies came in and stayed a while. They were dudes, strong, always dusty and dirty. When I shook their hands, they felt like brick mitts or dog paws. They worked hard for a living, and they wore it on their skin and in their clothes. They wore it on their faces and shared it with their words of criticism for the system. They were a different kind of man than I am, but I appreciated them for that. I liked them. They were nice, genuinely nice, decent. We certainly are not in the same radio station in life, but we're family men all together who love our partners, or our wives, as I first referred to Sharon as. I hold the experience dear. This was my first start-to-finish duding. I met these fellows over the phone and set the pace. I was one of the guys from start to finish. They tended to butcher my name, eventually settling on Sawyer, but I didn't really care. They never once used the wrong pronoun. I was one of the guys. I would imagine to them I seem a little quirky and not the hardest core of manly men, but a nice person and appreciative of their talents and skills. And I always paid them for their time quickly, and I was always open about telling them that I was impressed with their skill sets. They seemed mostly open to the praise, so I interacted with them. I made plumbing decisions with them, I listened to their stories, got to know them, stood outside with them as they would stand around and smoke cigarettes and spit. They would see me in my natural habitat, my two-year-old constantly on my hip or on my leg, cleaning the house, doing laundry. Not really sure what they thought of all that, but I enjoyed them very much. I liked having the opportunity to be with them and have the experience. It was an affirming experience. Something borrowed, something blue. So one of the many privileges I get to have while living an authentic life is that I will be allowed to marry my partner in life, Sharon. We have been together for almost 14 years, and upon confirmation of my legal gender change, she and I will become wife and husband. It's ironic. We always said that we wouldn't tie the knot until it was legal. Of course, we had in mind the social justice aspect that the United States would honor all its citizens, not just the straight ones, and everybody would be allowed to proclaim legally the person who they love. But no, it took a surgery and a legal change of gender. It was bittersweet. We're happy for ourselves, but we're disappointed for our lesbian and gay brothers and sisters. The kids are happy and excited to be in the wedding and celebrate with us. The kids are all right. They were the pronoun leaders, fully embracing Poppy as my name, correcting people when they'd say she. Really, Poppy was easier for all my friends to assimilate to as well. I've enjoyed becoming a Poppy more than I could have expected. I love the sound of it. I connect with the name Poppy, probably because I've never known a Poppy. I've known fathers, I've known dads, even a daddy or two, but never a Poppy. Seems to fit who I am, making my own way. So here I am, making my own way. I've stayed in my town, allowed my community to see me in various phases of my transition. I answer questions, not the inappropriate ones. I promote visibility. I'm interested to see how the next school years go. I spent the last 6 years getting to know a lot of parents, a lot of moms, a lot of teachers. It'll be my job next year to continue supporting my kids in school and being a part of what they do daily. I'm hopeful that I will be welcomed. I am hopeful that polite conversation will turn into meaningful interaction. One place that I know I am welcomed and not merely tolerated is here at my church. Polite conversation has already turned into much more meaningful interaction. I'm thankful to have my safety net of love and support up here on the hill in Alton. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to live my authentic life and share it with my church family. I'm grateful to have a voice here. I'm grateful to be one of the many voices who embraces social justice and promotes everyone living their authentic life.